Begin the current daf masechta Yevam misdaf ches. Begin 12 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. And that is as we open up our masechta with 15 women that, although there's a mitzvah of yibum when one's brother dies without any children, to then do yibum, which is the consummate relationship with his widow. However, if it's, she's one of these 15 women that are an erva to the yavam, then we don't go ahead and do the mitzvah of yibum, which the Gemara brought a brisa of Gimel Mabez that learned it out from a pasuk from Aleha, where it says, Isha l'chis l'sika chalitzra l'galsar vasa aleha b'chayeha, where it says, aleha, by the is of erva, where it's specified by chis isha, which we then learn out to all other arayas, which are similar to chis isha. That is, just like it says, they're aleha, which connotes the context of yivam yavi aleha, which is the mitzvah of yibum, and still it says, Isha l'chis l'sikach, that you should not marry her. There we know that one should not do yibum b'makam erva. Which the Gemara's question was ongoing for many dafim, what is the necessity of having a pasuk of aleha, which it says that extra word to tell you that it's going to be aser, even though there's a mitzvah of yibum? Well, of course, how can you go ahead to do a mitzvah of yibum, thereby violating a leisah seishesh bekaras, which is what happens if one has a relationship with one of these 15 arayos? So the Gemara on the top of this amid, which we had said on the previous daf, had answered that you need aleha in a specific case, which would be similar to Ula's case, which we had spoken about in the previous daf, regarding the halachic concept of hoyel v'ishtri ishtri, that if the brother who died had married this woman first, then which therefore made her into an eshesach to the brother, to the yavam, and then he passed away, and only then did the brother marry the widow's sister, making his wife now that achis ishtoi of the widow, then we say, Hoyel v'ishtri ishtri, since it was permitted already, the is of eshes ach, by his brother's death, which is what the mitzvah of yibum does, then therefore, even though there's now another isa of achis ishtoi, of his wife's sister, still we're going to allow it in such a case of, because of the principle of hoyel v'ishtri ishtri. That's why we need aleha to tell you that even in such a case that generally the halacha would say it's permitted, that aleha tells you that even in such a case is going to be asa. That was answer number one for the ongoing question of why is it necessary to say aleha to say that it's asa. Or if you want, the Gemara says another reason why we need aleha. Because had it not written aleha, we would have thought to say asya, that we would learn out the mitzvah of yibum to permit it even by a chais ishtoi behekeshim ed Rabbi Yoina, what's commonly known as hekesh Rabbi Yoina, which is Rabbi Yoina equates the Amr Rabbi Yoina, like we said, Rabbi Yoina is quoted as saying vitam, and some say it was actually Rav Huna Brid of Yeshua, that Amakra, the pasuk says in Yikra, whoever does any one of these abominations, which is a reference to all the arayas that are mentioned there in that parasha, and they get karas. So Rabbi Yoina says, "Hukchu kol arayas kulam." We see that all the arayas are equated; they're compared one to the other. It's saying that all of these arayas is putting into the one category to compare the two of them. Now Rashi tells us that actually in Perek Bo Habal Yevimte, Rabbi Yoina does compare all the arayas one for the other regarding the halacha of hara, which is partial penetration, to say that if we find by one that that's the application, then it's going to be by all of them. Now, therefore, the Gemara says, based on that hekesh of Rabbi Yoina, where he compares them all, at least for that halacha of hara, so maybe we'd say the same thing over here too. And we would say and compare all of them le'eshes ach, to the brother's wife. That is ma'eshes ach sharya, just like eshes ach, a brother's wife. Although she's an erva, but it's permitted to the yavam in the context of the halacha of yavam when his brother dies without any children. Of kol arayis nami sharya, and so to all the other arayis should also be permitted. And that is, although you're right, eshes ach is only one iser, and here it's two iserim. But as Rashi brings, there's a halacha based on drush and the Torah that's called ein meshiv al hekesh. We don't respond, which means that we don't ask questions on the hekesh. If the Torah compares them, which is what Rabbi Yoina says, we're comparing them with this hekesh, they're putting it all together, then we don't ask any questions. And therefore, kasa rachman aleha, that's why the Torah had to write to you aleha to say that it's going to be aser. Because since it's all, they're all being compared to eshesach, and eshesach is permitted, we would have said they're also permitted, even though it is more than one iser, as we had already made that ha'ara on the previous daf. In spite of that, the hekesh would say it's permitted, and that's why we need aleha. So that's the second approach why we need to have aleha. Because we would have thought, because it's compared all that rice in the pasuk and Yikra to the eshes ach, which is permitted, here also would have been permitted without aleha. Now the Gemara asks a general question based on the conclusion of aleha. Amalir of Acha Medifti L'Ravina, he says, Mechti, let's see. Kol arayis, all the arayis mentioned in our Mishnah, there were 15 women mentioned. Ikulah kashinu le'eshes ach. they could be compared to a brother's wife, which means to say that they should be permitted in the midst of Yibam. And on the other hand, you could compare them to a wife's sister, which is forbidden for Yibam because she's the one where we constantly keep on saying Aleha, Aleha. That's only said by one of the Arayis, of a Chayisishtai, which is Isha Lachayisa Lesikach, as we quoted before, it says Aleha Bechayeha. That's where it says Aleha, where we learn the Isra of Yibam in the context of the Erva of a Chayisishtai. So the question is, why did we assume, as we had been mentioning up until now, my chazis da'akshis la'chayisisha, what did you see fit, as the Gemara said in the beginning of the parak, to say, oh, ma'achayisisha miyuchedis, we said that, oh, of course all that rice are like achayisisha. Just like achayisisha is karis, and she's asr, and so to her tsaras are going to be asr, so to all the other rice. Why do you compare them to achayisisha? Akashin le'ishasach. Compare them to a brother's wife, who's also an erva, and also karis, and also all these things, and yet she's permitted. So maybe say all these other women, you're right, maybe achayis isha is going to be forbidden in makam yibam. Who said all the other 14 are going to be asr? Maybe they're going to be permitted, just like ishasach is an erva and is permitted. So the Gemara says two approaches. Iba yisem, if you want, you could say lakula v'chumah, when there's an ability to make a halacha of comparison of leniency or stringency, l'chumah makshinan. Regarding a hekesh, we go stringent, and that's why, since we could learn that from either one, heter or aser, we're going to go l'churma and learn that from achayisisha, that's aser. Iba yisem, over here, what you could say, hacha, over here, b'achayis ishtai, trei isuri. As we've been saying, that there's two prohibitions. Eish, this woman, is his brother's wife, and moreover, it's his wife's sister. V'hacha, trei isuri, here by all the other rice, it's also two isurim, whether it's his daughter, his mother-in-law, whoever it is, it's besides being his brother's wife, which is isur number one, there's also all the other ones, whether it's his daughter and all the other things. Betray me, trei alfinan, therefore you learn that a case that has two isurim from a case that has two isurim, which would make it usur. Abul hacha, chad isur, but here by ishasach, there's only one isur. She's only an erva because it's his brother's wife. Betray me, chad alay alfinan, and therefore the other arais which have two, we don't learn that from one, and that's why we compare it to achayis ishtai, and that's why all the chamesh esri nashim are going to be usur, because you learn it out from achayis ishtai. Now the Gemara brings Rava Amar. Rava says, and essentially he's answering a lot of different questions, and specifically even the question of why do you need aleha. He says, erva loy tzrichakra. The truth is, as we've been saying up until now, and as we've been asking up until now, the erva herself, daughter, mother-in-law, all these cases of the Mishnah, don't need a pasuk, because for sure they're going to be asr to be taken in Yibam. And that's because of the svar we've been saying all along, de'ena say, because the positive commandment of Yibam is not doich alois, it's a shish bekaris. Although we found a source that a positive commandment overrides a negative prohibition, but we never found a source that will override even a negative prohibition that has a punishment of karis, which is the case by chayis ishtai. So, of course, as the Gemara had asked, it's correct. You do not need a leha to go ahead and make the erva aser. Ki yitzachra, when do you need the pasuk of a leha? That was lemeser tzara. That is to make the tzara forbidden. As the Gemara will elaborate it on this daf, there's the pasuk of Meyikri Yudches that we've been quoting all along. It says, V'isha elachaysa, that a woman to her sister, leisikach litzra, you should not take her litzra to be a rival. Now that is the source where we learn out the halacha of a tzara, where although in the literal translation the pasuk means to say that two sisters shouldn't be married to the same man because they're going to be rivals, but we also learn from there that the wife's sister, not only her is going to be forbidden, but also her tzara, her co-wife, legal sarvasa, to reveal her nakedness, aleha b'chayeha, on her in her lifetime, that the qualification of aleha is going back on litzra, to tell you that the issa of the tzara is going to be in the context of aleha, to say that in the makam and mitzvah of yibum, that the tzara will be asr also. That is what Rava says, and therefore that answers a few different questions, that why do we learn out from achayis isha, not eshasach? We're not learning out from either one. It's asr. We're not comparing to anything, and moreover, we don't need a pasuk. The pasuk is coming to tell us that the tzara is going to be asr. Now, the Gemara asks, is that really true that the erva herself does not need a pasuk, as we've been assuming up until now, based on the brayson of Gimel Beis that aleha comes to say that it's aser? But Vatanya, we learned the brayson. The brayson says, "Ain li elahi," that I would only know the erva itself. That, and then it goes on saying, "How do I know that tzara is also aser?" But it sounds like that we needed to tell you the pasuk is being mechadish that the erva herself is also aser in Yibam. So the Gemara says, "No, b'shem tzarasa." It's only because we needed to say, Tzaras Minayin, how do you know that Tzara is also going to be Aser to do Yibum with the co-wife who is not an erva to the man? That's why we start off by saying, I would only know her, but not because the Pasuk is teaching us that. That we know, as we said, because Nasei cannot be Doicha Lois Ishish Bekaris. But the Gemara continues asking, but Vokatani Ainli Elehain, the terminology was then continued, said, we only know them, meaning all the other rice that they're forbidden. Sounds like that the Pasuk is telling us that. And again, the Gemara says a similar answer, Mishum Tzari Sehen. That's only because we wanted to say, how do we know their Tzaras are also us, or not just Achis Isha? That's why, but the Erva themselves, that is according to what Rav is saying, we never had a Havamina that's going to be Mutter, and you don't need a Pasuk to say that it's us. But the Gemara continues to ask on Rav, Toshima, the Nabraisa that says as follows. Rabbi Eimer, he says, and this is a pasuk in Devarim, which is the mitzvah of Yibum, where the pasuk there ends by saying, Yavama Yavoy Aleha, that her Yavam should then come upon her to consummate the relationship. Lekacha Loy Leisha, and he will take her as a wife, the Yibma, and then perform Yibum with her. Now, Rabbi says, essentially the pasuk could have said, V'lokach, that he will take Loy Leisha, he will take her as a wife, the Yibma, and he'll do Yibim to her. In other words, it could have just said V'lokach. Instead, it says in the Pasuk, U'lokacha, and that he will take her. Moreover, it could have said V'yibim, that he will do Yibim. But it says more than that, it says V'yibma, he'll perform Yibim with her. Now, both of these hays at the end sound like it's coming to exclude that only her and not another one. What does that come to teach? The Rebbe says, Lesser Tzaretz V'arayz. The two exclusions of taking har, being miyabim har, is coming to exclude the erva, and also the other exclusion excluding the tzaras. What you see from this price is that the erva does need an exclusion. One's excluding the erva, one's excluding the tzaras, which is not like Rabbi said, who said you don't need any exclusion. It, of course, it's a svara. From logic, you would say you can't do yibim. So the Gemara answers for Rava that Ema lesser tzara shall arise. The way you should read the words of Rabbi is not to forbid the tzara and arise. Rather, it's coming to forbid the tzaras of the arise, but the erva herself doesn't need any exclusions. But the Gemara says, how can you say that? The Gemara says, but batrei kroi kenosavlei. There's two psukim. In other words, in that pasuk, there's two exclusions. There's lekacha and yavama. My love, chadla erva, chadla tzara. Isn't it as the literal translation of the brisa sounds like that one's excluding the erva, one's excluding the tzara? The Gemara says, no, it's not a question. Lo yidiv yidiv tzara. Both of them are in reference to the tzara. So why are there two? Well, chadla meiser tzara b'mokam mitzvah. One is coming to say that the tzara is forbidden to be taken in a relationship when it's in the halachic context of a mitzvah. What does that mean? It means to say when she is a wife of your brother and she's a tzara of the erva, then she's going to be forbidden. So, for example, if one looks at the pasuk of Isha al-Achiso, when there's an erva who has litzrar, then she cannot be taken in the context of a leha. So, what Rebbe's saying is, he's saying similar in the pasuk of Yibum, where it says Yavama Yavaya leho lekacha leila Isha beYibma, where we have two exclusions. One is coming to say that it's going to be aser b'makom mitzvah, v'chad lemishri tzara shelo b'makom mitzvah. And one is going to say that it's permitted when it's not b'makom mitzvah. And that is from the extra pasuk where it says v'yibma, we make the following drasha. As the Gemara explains, my time, what's the reason? How do we understand this? It sounds like that there's two exclusions. How is the Gemara trying to answer now and saying that no? They're both in context of the tzara. One's coming to say that she's forbidden when b'makom mitzvah. And one's coming to say that she's permitted shelo b'makom mitzvah. How do you see that? So the Gemara says because Lekacha is saying, yes, take her. What's taking her? Take her, but not, meaning the Yavama, but not when it's a tzara. Again, forever, you don't have to say that you don't take your brother's wife, because that we said, we know, that Rabbi said, you know that without any pasuk. So the Rabbi's coming to say, the tzara of an erva, we would not have known that she's going to be aser. He says, you know that from the exclusion of lekacha, take her, and who not, a tzara of an erva. Now, what does v'yibim v'yibma come to teach us? Meaning, it could have said v'yibam. Why is it v'yibma? Come to teach us, b'makom yibam, when there's v'yibma, which is the exclusion, that's when I'm going to say the exclusion of ulekacha, which that's excluding the tzara. Only then is hudasir tzara. But shaloi b'makom yibam, when it's not in the halachic context of a mitzvah yibam. For example, if let's say his daughter married someone unrelated to him, and that person who his daughter is married to has another co-wife, has another wife, then Shari Tzara, then the Tzara is going to be permitted. And that's what the Pasuk is coming to teach us. But it's not a question on Rava, that as if one is them excluding the Erva. That you don't need exclusion. Olukacha is saying, take the Yavama, but not another one, which is an exclusion of Itzara of an Erva. Then when it says V'yivma, it's coming to qualify Olukacha by saying, when did we say that Olukacha says, take this woman and not the Tzara of an Erva? Only in V'yivma, when it's a makam of a mitzvah of Yibam. However, the co-wife of this Erva, whoever she is, let's say it's his daughter or his mother-in-law, if they're married to someone unrelated to him, it's not his brother who just died, someone else that his daughter is married to, then he is allowed to marry the co-wife. But again, it's not a question on Rava because it's not coming to exclude the Erva. Now, Amar Rav Asher, Rashi actually says, Masnit Nami Deika. Actually, a precise reading of our Mishnah seems to indicate, like Rava, that an Erva we knew that was so pasha to us that it's going to be Aser and that you don't need a Pasuk of Aleha to come to say that it's Aser. Victalik, learn our Mishnah. A Mishnah opened up, Chamesh Esei Nashim, there are 15 women, that are Paitres Tzareis Sehen, that they exclude, they exempt their Tzareis. Now, Ve'ilu Paturis U'Paitres L'Katani, it doesn't say that these 15 women, they're exempt and they make their Tzareis exempt. Shema Minav, and then you could infer that to exempt them, that was Pashut. We didn't have to say that as an exclusion. It was only for their Tzareis that was the Chiddush, and that is what Rebbe is coming to teach us, which Rava and Rebbe are saying the same idea, but they're saying it in different psukim, as we pointed out, that Rava was talking about in the context of Aleha. Aleha, in the pasuk he's using in Bayikri Yudches Yudches, is coming to qualify Litzrer, to say that the Tzara is Aser. That's only B'mokka Mitzvah. Whereas Rebbe is saying a similar halacha, again, but both are saying that you don't need to have an exclusion of the Erva from a pasuk. He's saying it in the pasuk in Devarim Chaf Hei, which is in the context of the mitzvah of Yibam, that Ulukacha is excluding the Tzara of an Erva, and V'yibam is qualifying that to say that it's only going to be B'malka Mitzvah. Now the Gemara continues discussing this in the way of asking, U'maishno Erva? Now, according to Rava, and we're explaining the same thing now essentially according to Rebbe, why is Erva different? The late Tzricha Kra, that you don't need to have a pasuk. So that, as we said, is because the Ina Se Dech Leisit Shish Bekaris, because a positive commandment of Yibam cannot override and push aside this negative prohibition of Erva that has a punishment of Karas. Well, if that's the case, Tzara Nami Loi Tibay Kra, so then the Tzara should also not need a Pasuk. Now, the reason is because the Pasuk already says Litzrer, which sounds like that you cannot marry your wife's sister, nor her co-wife. And at the end of that parasha, it says Karas by all the Arayas. Now, if that's the case, that seems to say that not only does the Erva have Karas, but the Tzara also has Karas. So if the Tzara also has Karas, so why do I need a Pasuk of Aleha to qualify that that would be us or even the Mokum Mitzvah of Yibum? Well, of course. Litzrer says the Tzara is the same as Isha L'Chaisa. She's the same as the Erva, which means as the Pasuk then concludes on all the Arayis that they get V'nichrus, so they get Karas. If they're getting Karas, so of course the Tzara is going to be forbidden in the Mokum Mitzvah of Yibum, just like we said the same story regarding the Erva itself. So why do we need Aleha even for the Tzara? So Amalei Rav Acha Bar Bibi Mar L'Ravina, he said, Hachi Kamei Mishmei D'Rava. He said that, you're right, Tzara Nami Le'Yitzokra, truth is you're right, a Tzara also does not need a Pasuk to say it's Aser, because of the same Svar we just said. She is an Erva that has Karas, because she's included in Litzra, which then it concludes with Nichrasu. So Ki Yitzokra, when did we need Aleha regarding the Tzara? That is as Gemara continues onto Amud Beis, L'Mishri Tzara Shalei B'Makom Mitzvah. It was only to permit the Tzara when it's not in a mitzvah situation. And that is, had it not said Aleha, which compares it to the Aleha of the mitzvah of Yibam, we would have learned from Litzrer that the Tzara of the Achis Isha of the Erva is forbidden in all situations, just like Achis Ishta. Had we not said Aleha, the Pasuk would read, as V'isha L'Achis L'Sikach Litzrer L'Gal Ser V'asam B'chayah, the Tzara is like the wife's sister. The co-wife is the same, which makes it sound like just like your wife's sister is always forbidden, not just in the Mokum and mitzvah of Yibam, so too is the Tzara. And therefore, that's why we had to say Aleha, to say that no, that Isser is only going to be in the mitzvah of Yibum, but not B'makom Mitzvah Yibum, then the Tzara of the Achayis Ishta is going to be permitted. Now the Gemara explains my time. How do you see from here a heter to the Tzara of the Achayis Ishta? So if let's say your sister-in-law is married to someone unrelated to you and there's another wife there, then that's permitted. Where do we see from here? So Amakra, the Pasuk says, Aleha. But Malkim Allah, as we said, that Allah is a qualification of Litzra. Even in other words, what is the qualification of the Is of Litzra? That in this context of Allah, which is the Pasuk of Yavama Yav Allah from that other Pasuk, which we're saying is what Allah comes to connote over here, then who? That's where it says Litzra in the Pasuk, Da'asira, to say the Tzara is forbidden. But Shalai B'makam Allah Shari, but if it's not in the context of Allah, of the Mitzvah of Yibum, then it's going to be permitted, and therefore that's why we need Allah. We don't need Allah to say that there's an Isra by the Tzara. We need Allah to qualify that the Isra of the Tzara, which has Karas, and therefore, of course, it would be posture, just like the Ever itself, that you can't take her in Yibum, is to say, but that when it's not B'makam Allah, that then the Tzara is going to be permitted. Now the Gemara asks, but Omali Ram Bar Chama L'Rava, if that's the case, Eime Erva Gufay Shaloi B'makam Mitzah Tishri, then say, even the Erva herself of Achais Ishtai, when it's not in the context of Yibum, let's say your sister-in-law is married not to your brother, then she should also be permitted. And the reason is because now that it says in the Pasuk of Aleha, which we just said as a drasha, which qualifies this Isra of Litzra as only being B'makam Mitzvah, well, that's in the same Pasuk as Achais Ishtai, and therefore we should say that's only B'makam Mitzvah's Yibum that the wife's sister is forbidden, but Shaloi B'makam Mitzvah's Yibum, that then you can marry your sister-in-law. It's only B'makam Aleha. But the Gemara responds, no, you can't say that. Wouldn't that be a Kal V'chaymer? B'makam mitzvah asira. If we're saying that even when there's a mitzvah of Yibum to be done, but if it's your wife's sister, she's forbidden, shalai b'makam mitzvah shari, can you entertain to say that when there's no mitzvah purpose to marry your sister-in-law, then it would be permitted? So Amalei says, what do you mean? What type of an answer is that? Sarat echiach. The halacha of the co-wife can refute that. Because the b'makam mitzvah asira, you're saying now, by tzara, where only in the context of Yibum, she's forbidden the co-wife. V'shalai b'makam mitzvah shariya, but not in the mitzvah of Yibum, she's permitted. So why can't you say the same thing regarding the Yerva? So Malay said, he still responded to him, he says, no. Alecha makra, regarding your taina, is what the Pasuk said, b'chayeha, that in her life. Where there the Pasuk says, v'yiku yitches yitches, as we quoted this Pasuk many times, v'isha alachaysa, that a woman to her sister, Leisikach litzra legalis ravasa. You should not take them to be rivals, to be intimate with both of them. Aleha on her bechayeha in her life. Which the Gemara says, what does bechayeha come to tell you? Kol she bechayeha. As long as your wife is alive, you're not allowed to marry her sister. And therefore, obviously, the Isra of Achais Ishtai is not just in the Mokum of Mitzvah Sibim. It's as long as they're both alive, you cannot go ahead and marry two sisters. So you can't tell me that it would only be B'makam Mitzvah Sibim. The Gemara responds in the way of a question, says, what do you mean? Hai b'chayeh mi'bayle. You need b'chayeha to tell you a different halacha. L'mu'ti la'achar misa, to exclude that after she dies, your wife, then you're allowed to go ahead and marry the sister, that it's permitted. But who said that it's going to be usher when the whole time she's alive? Maybe it's only when it's a mitzvah of Yibam. So that the Gemara answers, no. Hai mi'vi isha la'chayse nafka. That it's going to be permitted that this Isser is the whole entire time when she's alive, but after she dies, it's permitted that you know from a woman to her sister, which means to say that the Isser is the entire time they're alive, and that it's mutter after they die, but therefore these two psukim, one will tell us that it's going to be permitted after she dies, and one will be saying that's us the entire time that she's alive, and again, therefore, you can't tell me that it's going to be just in the makam mitzvah of Yibum, and that's how we know that it's qualifying only the tzara, that the tzara is only asur b'mitzvah mitzvah Yibum, and not regarding the achais ishta herself. But the Gemara continues to ask, but if you would be learning it just from a woman to her sister, havamina niskarsha, then I would have thought to say, but if his divorces his wife, then sharya, then his sister-in-law would be permitted, because it's not a woman to her sister, because the woman's out of the picture already. Tamalayim b'chayeha, kosha b'chayeha, that's what chayeha comes to teach you. As long as she's alive, da'avagav niskarsha loy, that even if she gets divorced, no, and therefore, you don't have a proof that the entire time she's alive, it's going to be forbidden. Maybe it's only b'makam mitzvah Yibum, like you want to say by the tzara. And the other psukim come to say different halachas, A, that she's permitted after the death, or that it's coming to say that even when she's divorced, she's usher. But who said that it's even when it's shalei b'makam mitzvah, maybe it's only going to be b'makam mitzvah zibam. And then the Gemara is back to the question about that if you're learning that Allah is coming to qualify litzer only being usher b'makam mitzvah zibam, maybe the same thing should apply to isha l'chaisa. Maybe that's only going to be usher also, only b'makam of mitzvah Yibum. So there the Gemara gives a different answer. Ela Omer Rav Huna bar Tachlif and Mishmei Derava, Trei Kroi Ksiv. There are two psukim that are written. First it says, Ksiv Isha Ela Chayso Lesikach Litzor. It says in the Pasuk, in other words, when we're saying two psukim, we're saying that the Pasuk is split up into two. It says, a woman to her sister you should not take to make them rivals, which sounds like that you can't take the sister-in-law, neither can you take the co-wife. Then the Pasuk continues to Ksiv, it says, Legalis Arvasa, to reveal her nakedness. Now that's in the singular, the chadamashma. Sounds like only one of them are forbidden, meaning either the sister-in-law, who is married to someone else, or the co-wife, but not both. So how do we understand the pasuk? On the one hand, it sounds like that not only is your sister-in-law forbidden, but also her co-wife to her husband, and then the rest of the pasuk sounds like that only one of them in the singular is forbidden. So that the answer is, which is coming to answer Rabba's interpretation, B'makim mitzvah shtein asuras. When it's b'makim mitzvah, when they're married to his brother and his brother dies without any children, so there's a mitzvah of yibum, then they're both going to be forbidden. Like the pasuk says, alaha, which qualifies, that makes it sound like that litzra is when there's alaha. The tzar is forbidden only when there's b'makim mitzvah yibum. Shaloi b'makim mitzvah, but when it's not, in the halacha of mitzvah, where the pasuk then is after going on to the second half of the pasuk, then it's saying that then she's forbidden and the tzar is permitted. And therefore that resolves Rava's interpretation. But the Gemara still asks, what do you mean? Let's say the opposite. When there's a mitzvah, she's forbidden because she's an Erva, the sister-in-law, but her co-wife is permitted. Now actually Rashi says that makes sense because Aleha, if you look at the Pasuk, is going on legalis ravasa, which sounds like it's one, to tell you that when there's aleha, then they only said it's us are going to be one of them. And however, the pasuk of litzra was going shalei b'makam mitzah, that is, the shalei b'makam mitzah shtein asuris, but if it's not b'makam mitzah, then they're both going to be asur. And therefore, how do you know, like you wanted to say this, who said? Maybe the tzara is going to be permitted. And that's what it's saying, that legalis ravasa is aleha. When is aleha the isser of doing it even b'makam yibum? That's only for one of them, legal saravasa, because the tzar will be permitted if it is a mitzvah. But if it's shalei b'makam mitzvah, maybe then it's what the beginning of the pasuk was saying, that le'sikach litzra, that both of them are going to be forbidden. That the Gemara answered, no. Emkein lo yom aleha. If that would be the correct interpretation, then you wouldn't need aleha. And then it says, Rashi explains. Because without aleha, when you have this internal contradiction in this pasuk, then we would have answered logically that the heter, meaning when we're saying aleha, when we're saying that legalis ravasa in the singular, saying only one of them, meaning either the co-wife or the erva herself is going to be forbidden, we would have said that the heter, meaning to say that one of them is permitted, is when there's a mitzvah. The iser, to say that both of them are forbidden, is when there's no mitzvah. So therefore, aleha must be coming to tell us a chiddush, and to tell us to make the drasha on litzra, and to say that the issa of the tzara is only when there's a makam of mitzvah, then we make her like the erva. And therefore we have resolved the question that what is aleha coming to teach us? It's coming to teach us the issa of the tzara is only b'makam mitzvah. Now, although we had all these questions to say maybe there's another approach, we said that they cannot be. And therefore, we're back to the original interpretation that the pasuk of aleha, what's it necessary for? Not for the erva is pashut that she's going to be usher. It's coming to say that the tzara is going to be usher. And although that also seems to be obvious, but that's coming to tell us that it's only b'mokim aleha, when there's a mitzvah yibim, then she's going to be usher. But shaloi b'mokim mitzvah, if one's daughter or mother-in-law is married to someone else, not a brother, and then he dies, that it's only the erva that's forbidden, but then the co-wife will be permitted. Now the Gemara asks a general question on this drasha. Amar Rav Ashi l'Rav Kahana, Mimai d'hayal leha li'isura. How do you know, as we were assuming from Daf Gimel Mabez, that aleha is coming to say in Isser, whether it's going on the Tzara or whether it's going on the Erva, however you're interpreting the qualification of aleha, that we keep on comparing, it says aleha by the mitzvah of Yibum, and it says aleha by the Isser of Achais Ishtoi, where we're saying either it's coming to say that the Erva is Aser, or, okay, you don't need it for the Erva, it's coming to say that the Tzara is Aser. But how do you know that it's qualifying in a way of prohibition? Dima lehetera. Maybe it's coming to say permission, that it's coming to allow it, and saying that, to the contrary, that they're both going to be mutter b'makim mitzvah. And this is how we would understand the pasuk. Vachikam rachmana. Torah says as follows, Isha alachaisa lesikach litzra. You read the pasuk, it says, a woman to her sister, to marry sister-in-laws, a wife's sister, that you can't take litzra to create rivals, which means to say, lahiva leitzarasa, as we're learning that what that means to say is not only is the sister-in-law prohibited, but also her co-wife is prohibited. Now, that is what the pasuk is, shalei b'makam alav. That's the first half of the pasuk. Don't say alaha over there. That's when there's no mitzvah. B'makam alaha, then you continue reading the pasuk. But when it's aleha, which is a mitzvah of yibum, then shteim mutaris, then actually both would be permitted. Even when the sister-in-law is alive, you could have yivama yavi aleha of the mitzvah of yibum. Who said that when it qualifies with aleha, it's coming to qualify as a prohibition? Maybe the first half of the pasuk is talking about the iser, and the pasuk ends by saying aleha bechayeha. But aleha, when there's a mitzvah of aleha of yibum, then you could have her bechayeha, then you could marry sister-in-laws. How do you know it's coming to say an iser? So that the Gemara answers, im kein, if that would be the case, then legalis erva, or ervasa, as the pasuk says it, the chada, which we said is coming to say the singular, that only one of them will be forbidden, either the sister-in-law, the erva, or the co-wife, hecha mishkachasla, how will you ever have that only one of them will be prohibited? And that is because ibam makam mitzvah, if it's like you just said, then when there's a mitzvah of ibam, you just said shtei mutaris. He said both the co-wife and the sister-in-law are permitted to be taken in the mitzvah of ibam. And Yishalei b'makam mitzvah, and if it's not b'makam mitzvah, you just explain that Shtein Asuris. They're both prohibited, as the first half of the pasuk is saying, and therefore it would not be consistent with how we're going to resolve the internal contradiction of the pasuk. And therefore it must be, as we had explained, that it's not coming to say a permission, but rather it's coming to be oyster, it's coming to forbid, and that it's coming to qualify the first half of the pasuk, and again, either that it's coming to say that both of them are prohibited, or like Rabbi said, at least to qualify litzur, to say that the tzara of an erva is going to be prohibited only b'makam aleha, but again, the shalei b'makam aleha, the tzara of the erva is going to be permitted. And that's the conclusion of the discussion that was started on Daf Gimel Mabez, that what is the necessity of aleha? So we have three answers. Either to say that the erva is forbidden, that at least in a specific case that we would have thought of hoyel b'ishtri ishtri, once the issa of eishes achas is permitted, so too the issa of achis isha and all the other arayas that are piled up on that would also be permitted. Or because of the hekesh of the Rabbi Yehuda equates all the arayas to all the other ones, and therefore if one of them is permitted, which is eishes ach b'makam mitzvah yibum, so to all the other ones we would have thought is permitted, that's why we need aleha. And the third approach is the one we just said, that the issa of tzara is only going to be b'makam mitzvah yibum, that aleha qualifies litzra, that was the necessity of aleha, but not that it was necessary to say the ervazasa, because that's obvious, because ein asei, and that positive commandment cannot be doicha, aleha says shesh b'karis, which is what these 15 arayas are. Now the Gemara goes back, Gufa, we had mentioned this on Amud Aleph, that Rebbe says, quoting a pasuk in Devarim, that v'lokach, and that is essentially where it says in the pasuk in the midst of Yibam, it says yivama yavay aleha, that her yavam, that's the brother, her brother-in-law, the living brother, will then have the relationship with her, will take her as a wife, v'yibma, and will perform yibam with her. Now Rebbe said, it could have said v'lokach, he will take, but it says v'lokacha, he will take her, v'yibim, it could have said he'll perform yibam, it says rather v'yibma, he will perform yibam with her, so that's exclusions. That's lesser tzaras v'arayas. Why does it? What's it coming to exclude that you cannot do yibum with? It's coming to exclude the co-wives and of the ervis and the ervis herself, which we had explained already. That the way it was amended is not to make the, at least according to Rava, not to exclude the erva, because that's obvious. Rather, it's coming to exclude the tzaras of the arayas. But be that as it may, the Gemara has the following question: Midi tzaras k'siva hacha? Does it say anywhere in this pasuk anything about a tzara? Where do you see anything about that? Okay, so it's coming to exclude. But where do you see over here a concept in halacha? In other words, according to Rebbe, we don't learn it out from litzra, obviously, that a tzara is aser. So where do you see over here anything about a tzara? That there is such a halacha concept that the co-wife of an erva will be aser to be taken in yibam. But moreover, tzara is melitzra nafka. The second question is even more important by saying that we already have the pasuk of litzra. That, as we have been explaining up in, for the past dafim, that you learn it from litzra that the tzara ben erva is forbidden. Why is Rebbe quoting it from this pasuk in Devarim Chafei when we know it from the pasuk of Yirku Yotches, which is by the context of the pasuk of Isha Lachaisa? So regarding the second question, the Gemara answers that litzra mapikle Rebbe lekrib Shimon. Rebbe does not learn from litzra, as we had been learning up until now, that's the miut of a tzara ben erva. He learns it for a different halacha that Reb Shimon says, which is brought later on in Perek Dalet Achim and Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, if you have three brothers, if two of them are married to two sisters, or to one's married to a mother and the other one's married to the daughter. And then they both die. Now, both of them have their wives fall in front of the third brother for the mitzvah of Yibum, because they both die without any children. So the halacha of the Mishnah says is that the third remaining brother has to do chalitza to both of them and not to Yibum. And the reason is because since both of them are zakuk to him, they have this Yibum bond from the two different brothers. Now, zika halachically is like a partial marriage. Now, if he's going to do Yibum to one of them, essentially, halachically, what he's going to be doing is he's going to be marrying achis zukukasai, the sister of the woman that's zakuk to him, because each one has a zika. Now, that's a problem because essentially, on some level, the zakuka is like your wife. Now, you can't marry then the sister because that's like a chayis ishtai, somewhat, a quasi a chayis ishtai. And therefore, neither one, each one's going to be a problem because each one is the sister of the ishtai, of the zakuka. But chalitza, that you still need to do because it's not a full-fledged achayis ishtai, which a regular full-fledged achayis ishtai, you wouldn't even have to look at her. There's no yibum, no chalitza, as we mentioned in our Mishnah. But since it's only a quasi, so you have to do chalitza, but you can't do yibum. Now, the Gemara brings there a braisa. The Rebbe Shimon says no. It says you're exempt from both of them, from chalitza, from yibum. Again, like almost like a full-fledged achayis ishtai, you don't have to look at them. And the reason he learns is from the pasuk of litzra. The way he learns the pasuk of litzra is that when two women become rivals to each other, like in such a case when you have two sisters, and that's how he learns the pasuk of Isha El Achisa, when you have two sisters that are in the context of a tzara, loisikach litzra, you should not take them to become, when they're in the context of a tzara, meaning because now because of zika, they are rivals to each other, then you don't have likuchen, you don't have marriage, even in one of them. As we're going to see on Daf Chav Chasam Beis, how the Gemara explains that's what he uses. Rebbe learns litzra not to exclude a halacha of a tzara, meaning when there's one brother that dies and there's an erev and a co-wife. He's learning it when there's two brothers that die, and now there's two sisters that are falling in front of him. In that case, the two sisters are tzaras, are rivals, then you can't take either one of them, and they totally are removed from the mitzvah of Yibum, and you don't have to do Yibum or chalitza. So the Gemara says, fine. So that resolves the second question, why he doesn't learn that from Litzra. But again, Tzara, Hachek Siv, where do you see over here anything regarding Tzara? How would we learn from here that there's such a concept in Halacha as a Tzara of an Erva? So the Gemara says, Hachek, I mean, this is what Rebbe was saying. Im Kain, if Lukacha, if to take her in marriage was saying that regarding the context of the Yibum itself, which that's, if you read the Pasuk in the Varm, it's just saying that there's brothers that are together and one of them dies, she shouldn't marry anyone else. Yavama, Yava Yaleha, let the Yava marry her, Ulakacha, Leisha, take her as a wife. But if that's the case, Lemakravalokach, let the Pasuk say, he will take. My Ulakacha, what does it mean he will take her? Which sounds like that there are two of them that fell to him from the brother. And the Torah is saying, you should take her. Meaning to say that you're taking one. What do you mean one? There's more than one? Oh, the meaning is more than one wife. And it's saying take one and not both. Now, what that means is, kol hecha de'ikar trei likuchen. That means to say that whenever there's an option of having ulakacha on either one of them, and we're saying, no, marry this one and not two, that means the ibay nasav hai, the ibay nasav hai, if he wanted, he could have married this one. If he wanted, he could have married this one. Then sharia. Then each one is permitted. That's what the pasuk is saying. Yivama yave lehu ulakacha le'lisha, take her and not the other one. Means to say, but if you wanted, you could have taken the other one. Then you could marry that one. But vilai, but if I will not say ulakacha on each one of them, for example, if one of them is an erva, and you can't marry an erva, as we said, tarvayu asiron, then they're both going to be yasir. That's where he learns from here, the halacha of itzara, because it's saying that if you cannot take one of them, which is the erva, then you can't take either one either. That's what you see from ulakacha, take her, and not the other one, but you could take the other one. But if you can't take the other one, then you can't take either one of them. And that's how you see the halacha of Tzara Tzara, which Rashi explains, and how do you know Tzara Tzara is saying too? Because according to the one who learns that from Litzra, we're saying it didn't say Lotzer, it says Litzra, so you say Tzara Tzara is saying also. Rashi says the way you know Tzara Tzara is saying is also from here. Because when this Tzara Erva from the first brother who got rejected because of you couldn't take both, she becomes then rejected forever. because now she's like what's called the Eishes Ach Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah, as if she has children. And then when the other brother does Yibum to the Tzara, and he has another wife, and he dies, and then they both fall in front of that other brother, again, it would then qualify for the prohibition of Ulkacha, because now they're both going to be forbidden, because you cannot take the Tzara's ever, and so on and so on. And that's how you know the Halacha of Tzara, according to Rabbi. Now, the Gemara says, V'yibma, that when it says that you should do Yibum Tahar, what that does is, as we had qualified this on Amad Aleph, is saying, B'mokim yibim hu da'asir tzara. Now that we know the Isra of tzara, so it's saying that that's only in a place of the mitzvah of yibim, then the tzara is forbidden. But shalei b'mokim yibim shara tzara, as we went through at length, to show that that's qualifying the litzra. But it's not in that pasuk litzra, it's l'kacha, where it says that you should take har, but not the tzara of the yarva. Then the yibim is qualifying and saying that a tzara, a co-wife of an erva, let's say your daughter is married to someone else, it'll only be forbidden if it's b'makom mitzvah of yibim, if it's your brother, but if it's someone else, then it's going to be permitted. But now the Gemara asks Rabbanan, who they learn from Aleha and Litzra, Sahayu l'kacha mayavdili, so what do they do with l'kacha? They don't need it to exclude the tzara, because we learned that from Litzra and Aleha. So they, mibayluhu l'kribi yisir b'chanina, they need it for a different halacha. Then Yisir b'chanina says, u'l'kacha, that you will take her, which means to say that after you marry the Yavama, she becomes like a wife, because Likuchen is a term of Kiddushin of marriage. Malama, that comes to teach that if you want to divorce her afterwards, the Yavama, Shemegar Shabaget, then you divorce her with a divorce document, and that you don't need Chalitza. Although generally the way you divorce the Yavama is with Chalitza, but once you take her and you consummate a relationship with Yibum, then she becomes like a regular wife, and you divorce her like a regular wife with a get. And moreover, Umachzira, if he wants to then take her back after he divorced her, then you don't say that, wait, there was a mitzvah that the terrorist said you should do. Once you do that, so the mitzvah of Yibim is done already, now she's back to the Eishes Ach, she was your brother's wife, you can't take her, it's only b'makom mitzvah of Yibim that you could take her. Once you divorce her, and you already did the mitzvah of Yibim, then you can't take her back. That's why it says, l'kacha lo'i le'isha, that you will take her as a wife, that once you took her, she becomes like your wife in all situations. That's what l'kacha has come to say, that it's l'kacha, that's l'kichen, l'kacha lo'i'isha, it's a marriage. The Yibma, and this that it says, that he will perform Yibam, means to say, Al Karcha, that against her will, that is, if let's say he forcefully does Yibam, even against her will, he acquires her, and that means to say, and he will inherit her, and he could be metamet to her like a full-fledged wife, and for every halacha, she becomes his wife with the consummation of that relationship. And that's why, according to the Rabbanan, you need Ulakacha to say that it's like a full-fledged marriage, and the Yibma, it can be done forcefully. Now, Rebbe, how does he know these two halachas, if he's already using it to learn up tzara and the qualification of tzara? The Rabbi Yisrael Bar Chanina, the halacha that she becomes like his wife for everything that divorce would get and he could take her back, that's mele'isha nafka. That's from the other words there. In other words, l'kacha comes to exclude tzara. And l'kacha lo'i le'isha, the term le'isha says she becomes like a full-fledged wife. And the halacha of al-karcha, that he could do it forcefully, is mi-yavama yavi aleha nafka. That you learn from the word aleha. That is from yavama, from this that it said, v'yibma, that you know that there's going to qualify lakacha only b'makom mitzvah yibam. And the fact that you could do it forcefully is from the pasuk that where it says, when it says yavama yavi aleha, that is coming to say, that's the words beforehand, where it says, Yavama, Yavai Aleha, then Lukach Leleisha V'yimma, from those words Aleha, which means say on her, means say he can impose upon her, and he can do it forcefully, and therefore we have resolved how each one says their opinion, and again, that they're both saying the same halachas, that either you're learning out from Yibma qualifying Lukacha, or that Aleha is qualifying Litzra, but again, according to these interpretations, the way Rav had said, you do not need a pasuk to exclude the Erev herself, but rather it's learned out from either one of these two psukim, and that each one knows the other halachas from other places.